Hello, it's Lucia Dawn speaking, founder of LCD Media, bringing you our latest podcast on the politics and economics of the Middle East. Not only have I, am I the founder of LCD Media, having been a journalist in the Middle East for many years, but I met some insightful people in my time there. Ahmed Abdul Rahman from Egypt is one of them, and today he will impart his views on the Israel-Gaza war. Will it become a wider conflict? Ahmed explains here.
Hello.
Hello, Lucia.
I am now speaking with Ahmed Abdul, who is a journalist for LCD Media. I have some questions to ask him about the war between Israel and Hamas. Do you think what is going to happen with the Egyptian government? Do you think the war will expand? And what does the Egyptian government think of it?
Actually, the Egyptian position or stance of the Egyptian government has developed significantly since the beginning of the recent military escalation between Israel and Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
This position started with Egypt's announcement of intensive contacts with both sides for an immediate ceasefire, and its call for everyone to exercise self-restraint,
mm-hmm.
all the way to preventing the exit of foreigners from the Gaza Strip through the Rafah crossing point.
Right.
If Israel does not allow aid to enter Rafah crossing point, there is also Egypt's repeated statements that its sovereignty is a red line that cannot be violated and its national security is a priority. On October 7, Cairo issued its first statement hours after the start of the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood launched by Hamas movement, and Israel responded by launching an operation called Iron Swords. In this statement, Egypt warned of the dire risks and of escalating violence and called on international actors and the whole international community to intervene to reach a truce, specifically or particularly a humanitarian truce. Thereafter, official Egyptian statements followed, addressing contacts conducted by Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi and his foreign minister Sameh Shoukry with leaders and officials from several countries to push for an immediate ceasefire. Cairo's tone appeared sharp after an Israeli army spokesman called on civilian residents from Gaza to go to Egypt if they wanted to avoid Israeli airstrikes. This was later denied by another spokesman of Israeli army and the Israeli ambassador to Cairo. On this serious development, the Egyptian president affirmed that Egypt will not allow the Palestinian cause to be liquidated and will not be complacent in protecting its national security.
So there is disagreement now with what is being said between Israel in Egypt. So how do you think that they will resolve the issue? Do you think civilians will then go to Egypt, or is it too late now that they have entered the hospital?
No, I think it's too late now. I mean, for the civilians in Gaza to go to Egypt, because the Egyptian position was very clear from the beginning, the moment Israel asked them to go to Egypt. Egypt has completely and categorically refused to civilians coming from Gaza Strip because this move will threaten its national security.
Right, and do you think that attitude is a problem that Egypt has towards Gaza is reflected? Is the stance that's taken by all the countries, the Arab countries in the region?
Yeah, exactly. This is what happened. Even Jordan has adopted the same attitude taken by Egypt, and the Jordanian King Abdullah has clearly said that Jordan refuses to receive any civilians from the Gaza Strip.
Right. So if they're not taking the civilians, will the other countries, do you think they will go in to help Gaza? or Gaza, they want to stay out of any war.
Actually, the civilians coming from the Gaza Strip, fearing, the airstrikes or to avoid the bombing, the Israeli planes, they are afraid to go anywhere, but they don't have any other choice but to stay in their home. As far as we know right now, maybe more than a million civilians from the Gaza Strip has left their homes and started to go from north to south as instructed by the Israel. But most Arab countries refuse to receive these people simply because they will be a big threat to their national securities. In the meantime, they will become a heavy burden to the economies of these countries. As you know, most Arab countries suffer from the aftermath and the grave consequences of the COVID-19 epidemic and the war in Ukraine. This war has left bad and severe economic impacts on these countries. So they are not ready economically or politically to receive more refugees, because even in Egypt, we have at least 9 million refugees from different countries like Sudan, Yemen, Libya, and Iraq and Syria.
So in that case, you do not think that there is any chance of the conflict spreading to other countries in the Middle East? You do not think they will go in to defend Gaza?
Exactly.
Because they're too scared of their own position.
Yeah,
but
right.
How do you think the conflict will be resolved? Is there any chance for peaceful resolution?
Yeah, about, finding a resolution for this war launched in Gaza. I believe that the chance for a peaceful solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict still exists, and that this opportunity is represented by the Arab Initiative, presented by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia at the Arab Summit in Beirut, Lebanon in 2002. The goal of this initiative is to establish an internationally recognized Palestinian state on the 1967 borders and the return of refugees in exchange for normalization of relations between Arab countries and Israel.
Yeah, it sounds as though it is a long way off. Do you think it would take some time before there is any possibility of different sides getting down to talk with one another?
In the meantime, there is a possibility to revive a two-state solution.
You do?
I think there is time, but only if Israel agrees to revive the two-state solution.
And do you think that Israel will agree to that?
At this moment, I don't think that Israel will agree to this solution.
The current war be resolved? What do you think will happen?
Yeah, I think the only solution is through the United States. The United States is the only country in the world that have influence in an impact on Israel. Because as we know, the U.S. is the biggest supporter to Israel, whether politically, militarily, and so on. So I think Israel should offer to start. If Israel refused, the two-state solution, I think that the United States and the U.S. administration can exert more pressure on Tel Aviv to accept an immediate ceasefire and start negotiations with the Palestinian Authority to accept this two-state solution.
Okay. Do you think the recent bombings of the hospital in Gaza are justified by the Israelis? Is it right to call them war crimes? What is your feeling as an Egyptian?
Yeah, this is really a very important question, Lucia. I think that Israel has certainly the right to defend itself in principle against the repercussions and the aftermath of the fatal attack launched by Al-Aqsa flood elements on October 7. But in the meantime, Israel has crossed the red lines and went beyond self-defense stipulated by the international law and the UN Charter when it continued its bombings and massacres against the innocent and defenseless civilians in the Gaza Strip.
Okay, I understand. Well, then, do you...
Yeah, so even if we presume that such bombings of the hospitals in Gaza are justified under the pretext that they are used by Hamas fighters as military centers, the international law and the Geneva Convention prevent Israel from targeting the civilians, the hospitals, schools, the churches, and mosques. Accordingly, or based on these bombings, amount to war crimes under the rules of the international law.
Yes, okay. So we have a dispute. I think that will always be disputed between the Arabs and the Israelis and what constitutes reasonable response. But as a journalist, what do you think of the way the media covers events both in the East and the West? Is there a difference? And what do you think?
I think there's no big difference because, as you know, the Western media has already been biased and favored Israel in the Israel-Palestinian conflict. Something seen again, its coverage of the war between Israel and Hamas. The mainstream media, therefore, with, especially in the West, has an extraordinarily vital role that has become even more in this environment, as we have seen so many aspects of falsehood and propaganda. Over the years, the media coverage has rarely been fair to the Palestinian side. It has favored the stronger party, I mean Israel, not least because the Israeli state has been able to devote far more resources to the information war than the Palestinian movement.
However, well, it's interesting that you mentioned it's the information war. Do you think the current war is one of information? Do you think there is an information war?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the Al-Aqsa flood of military operation, we all have seen that the Western media depended mainly on the Israeli, information. I mean, the images coming out from Israel for immediate after the Al-Aqsa flood operation. And the U.S. administration depended on what Israel has, the information of the Israeli side and the attack of the Al-Aqsa flood operation and the Hamas fighters, and all the media in the West used these information and images to just to focus on that the Hamas is a terrorist organization and so on. However, the absence of impartiality and professionalism in many Western media coverage of the Al-Aqsa flood operation and the unprecedented war waged by Israeli occupation on Gaza did not stop at siding with the Israeli narrative and attempting to spread media misinformation in a way that many see as systematic and even reaches the point of silencing some voices which does not align with this line. The most prominent example of this is what the American network MSNBC did when it suspended three of its most prominent Muslim broadcasters a few days ago. During the Gaza war, the Western media showed a state extreme lying in reporting the news to the point of falsifying facts and lying to followers and viewers, often violating professional controls and neutrality, thus showing Western double standards on more than one occasion. Since the beginning of the war, the West, along with its leaders and media, has been involved in several missteps that revealed blind bias toward Israel, the Israeli side.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there for today. And thank you very much for speaking with us today. And we will continue on another occasion if the war continues. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, Lucia. Thank you very much for hosting me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ahmed, for your insightful comments. I look forward to speaking again soon. And if any listeners are interested in learning about Ahmed's views on regional conflicts, go to www.lcdmedia.net.